You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
Triangle Tire, Tires for Life presents Dave's Corner Garage. The following is a paid program. Opinions expressed can sometimes be accompanied by hand gestures, which your sister may find offensive, but you think are hilarious. There's one in every family. Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Mr. Hyperverbal, let go.
Yee-haw! Oh, I had a burp there.
What did you do? Did a little boy just burp you over their shoulder or what?
Exactly. I had a little, I hit a pothole.
It was a frozen air bubble. Anything would freeze today. Good morning. And you know, whatever, since we've been coming back from New Year's, every Saturday it's been this cold.
Really? It's like a record.
Oh yeah, like it's supposed to be minus 29 out there. You know, once it gets below minus 15, like, who cares? It's like cold out there. Welcome to Dave's Corner Garage. Steve Scheinman along with Alan Gelman, as Dave is still recuperating from COVID. He got it pretty bad. So we want to thank everybody who's been writing in to see how the old geezer's doing. And geezer's doing okay. How about you? How you been coping with this cold weather in the garage that you work at every day?
Sorry, you put me under that blanket of geezer, and I'm I don't consider myself a geezer.
Okay, anti-geezer.
It's been cold. It really has been. In fact, yesterday was horrible because we had a car. Normally, you know, if cars get towed in for no starts, you know, we just take a battery outside and keep our fingers crossed and do get them started. So we'll warm them up before we bring them in the shop to work on. But we had yesterday a Lexus that needed a starter, and there's no way that baby wanted to start. It had been out overnight. We had to tow it in. We had to wait 15 minutes just to get the hood open because the hood cable stretched, you know?
Really?
Oh, terrible. So
I was at an Esso gas station yesterday, mm-hmm. getting gas and going, oh, $1.51, nice. Anyway, this guy was filling up, putting air in his tire. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk to Darren Boston, some Triangle Tire, later on this hour.
Yep.
And he didn't have his gloves on. So he grabs the hose, puts it on the nozzle, right? Mm. And honest to God, he could not get his hand off the metal part of the attachment. And
he stuck his tongue on a bridge or something.
No, almost like that movie. But you know what? To make it even nuttier, mm-hmm. he takes a bottle of water and pours it over his hand to release it. Yeah, that's intelligent. Well, we've got some intelligence here, despite what we are talking about this morning. A great show. There's been a lot of talk about winter tires, snow tires, you know, all seasons. What's the best? And we've had, a ton of snow in the last week and a half. So Darren Boston's from Triangle Tires has been with us for years. He's going to give us some great tire advice. Mm-hmm. And Al, you can talk to him about, you know, wheel alignment stuff and tire pressure, what's going on with that. And we all know that the EV market is like going through the roof and people are saying, well, there's not enough plug stations going on. There's a huge, strong infrastructure. And Eric Novak will be joining us to talk about that. And one area we sort of, I guess we try to ignore is that we're all getting a little older as we get north of 60. And you've got somebody that, you know, Deb Melamed. What's Deb going to be talking about?
She's going to be talking about, I mean, she does work at an assessment center that's licensed by the Ministry of Transportation.
Right.
You know, when people do get over 80 and they go for a test, they have to be evaluated. And that's what Debbie does. So
She's got some great stuff to talk about. It's not just so much, just as you mentioned, Ellie, over 80. It's like when you get over 60, as we both are, and most people who listen are over 60 to this show, which is great because we're not old. Damn it, we're not old. is that you know, your eyesight's not going is going south, and your response time is like, it ain't as good as it used to be. So she's going to get into some really interesting areas with that as we get through. And we will open up the phone lines shortly. So don't do it yet, because we're trying to get some things going on down at the station. And we'll be back with that. So we've got some Q&As to get to, questions and answers. Yes,
and I'm going to try to help you with your gas problem after the break.
Well, I appreciate that. Just, I think we'll have to discuss that off the air. This is Dave's Corner Garage, with and without gas. And we'll be back right after this. Stay with us. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We are celebrating 21 years on the air. I want to thank everybody for making that possible. Without you, it ain't going to happen. So we've had a number of questions coming in the last week and a half. This one is about gasoline prices, which are at the highest, I think, in the last, since like 2-3 years. So, Al, people want to know tips to reduce fuel consumption.
Exactly. I remember growing up, my dad would talk about this, you know, because he had an old 65 Pontiac that used to burn a fair amount of gas. And since we had no money to put any in, he'd say, listen, you got to plan your route, okay? I don't want everybody going downtown one at a time. You can all pop, get in the cart together and work it out that way. So, you know, don't do any excessive driving. All right, from the top, you got to maintain proper tire inflation, especially now it's wintertime. People have switched their tires. You want to make sure that they weren't leaking. In fact, a lot of people's winter rims do not have tire pressure sensors in them. So that light you've been looking at flashing all winter, you've learned to ignore. Well, you can't. You got to go check it, do a walk around, see if anything looks funny, and make sure you have gloves on when you go to the air pump. Hey, yeah. Steve?
Good idea.
And if your hand does get stuck to that brass thing, don't use a bottle of water to release it. All right, next thing. If you haven't done a whole lot of maintenance on your car, or if you haven't taken it in for maintenance, important to get your air filters checked, okay? Both your air filter for the engine, which will help you save gas, and of course the air filter that collects the pollen and the dirt, especially because it's cold out. You do want your heater to work optimally. Other thing, reduce the weight in the vehicle. So in other words, open up that trunk and the stuff you don't need, get rid of, because for every 100 pounds of weight in the vehicle, the car's fuel economy decreases by about 1 or 2%. So it does make a difference. Again, you know, if you got that outboard engine that you brought back from the cottage in your trunk still, get it out. You don't really need to be driving around with it. And so that's one of the things. Steve?
Well, I was just going to say about the, you know, if your engine's running properly, you were talking about filters inside the car.
Yeah.
All right. Like, how often do people ask to get that in? Because I remember a couple of years ago, you guys were cleaning out our air filters and took out the one inside the cabin.
Yes.
It was like there was a village in there.
Exactly. We had one this week where it looked like a rodent. He didn't leave a calling card, so I don't know if it was a mouse or a rat or a squirrel or whatever, but he was building a nest.
But really, how much does... Like you would think the interior filter wouldn't impact on gas consumption, but how does it?
It doesn't.
Okay, next question.
It doesn't. No, I'm just relating back to the fact that it's minus 50,000 friggin' degrees outside today, and you do want your heater to work, okay? So again, if that filter is plugged, you're going to be freezing in the car. But you talked about making sure the engine is running right. You know, we talked about how people will ignore their tire pressure light in the wintertime. Well, of course, because they don't have sensors. But how many people drive around with the engine light on? That little amber light that says check engine soon. You need to get that checked out, because as much as you don't want to spend money, and I know a lot of people think check engine means the money light, it may cost some money, but it's going to save you money in the end. Because if you need, for example, if you have a bad temperature sensor, or if you have a lazy oxygen sensor, your car is going to consume way more gas than it ought to, and pollute the environment at the same time. So there you go. And I want to relate something back to, because of the COVID situation we've been going through the last 2 years now, I think it's almost an anniversary. Yeah. Because people haven't been driving their cars a whole lot, the brakes on your car get really, really rusty. The brake pads stop moving properly in the sliders. The brake rotor surfaces become all rusty and pitted. And so what happens is when you start to drive your car and you apply the brakes come on, but the problem is they don't release. And when they don't release, you know, you're it's counterproductive. I mean, it's like you want the car to go, but it thinks that the brakes are on. So at the same time, you're going to be burning tons of gas. So that's why you need to get the brakes serviced. You may need to get them replaced, actually, because of all the rust buildup. But again, if you're concerned about fuel mileage, you have to make sure that the brakes work when they want to, but come off when you need that to happen. Steve?
That's a big thing. That's a big thing, too, because I know my wife's car has not been driven probably for 2 or 3 months. We started up. I drive it around a little bit, mm-hmm. but it has the same quarter tank of gas in it for the last 6 or 7 months. And I think a lot of people are like that. I know most people are trying to get back to work. Still, a lot of people are in hybrid offices. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we're downtown. I can see the Gardner right now. And there's a fair amount of traffic going on. So, you know, if you're going to go get gas today, which would be a good idea despite the cold, keep it, at least a half a tank, right?
Exactly, because, you know, the crud builds up in the bottom of the tank. So you don't want to have your fuel pump sucking up water or rust or something. You want the car to run optimally.
Maybe we should have a mini convoy. Did I mention that word? About getting gas, about getting air in your tires for free. That'd be kind of nice.
That convoy I would join in, but not the one that's going on and on. No, that's stupid. All right, after the break, we've got Eric Novak. He's the Green Goddess, as a matter of fact. I love that dress, by the way. we're going to talk about electric vehicles and why perhaps you should go out and get one. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
This is Dave's Corner Garage on another crisp Saturday morning here in the Big Smoke. And the EV market is just continues to take off. And we are going to have Al talk to Eric Novak, who is the EV guy for today on Saturday. Okay, Al. Exactly. AG over to EV. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thanks, Eric, for joining us. It's the first time on our show. That means he's a little green around the gills, I guess. Nonetheless.
Could be Eric. Green from Friday night excursion or something like that, but no, we're good.
That could be as well. Well, Eric is one of the first local automotive journalists who were primarily focused on electric cars, or let's call them green cars, you know, whether they be back in the original days, I guess it was they were hybrids, but now we're talking about full-on electric. Eric, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. Good to be with you.
Excellent, excellent. You know, we talked about drawbacks, and I know Petro-Canada made a big deal about it the other day because there are charging stations that go right across the country. But let me ask you, you know, the manufacturers have been talking about, you know, within the next 10 years, they're going to be full-on electric, no more gasoline engines. Do you find or do you think that everybody is positive, you know, is receptive to all this, or are they just dreaming?
Well, there's a little bit of a just a proviso when saying, you know, by the end of the decade, it's respect to what they're going to be manufacturing. They're going to be mm-hmm. making only EVs, not every automaker, but a lot. And so there's still going to be gas engines for some period of time. So it's not like we've got 8 years and then everything changes.
Right.
But to the greater question, the reality is we're more ready as an infrastructure capability technological than most people believe. The greatest problem that I find is not that we have an infrastructure problem or a capability problem. We have a thinking problem. There still is a lot of old ideas permeating out there, some led by, you know, colleagues of mine who've been, you know, out this in this game for a long, long time, who still mm-hmm. may not see the future. So, you know, if the mindset is willing to accept what's happening, and to be honest, once you open up your mind to the possibility and actually maybe try one out, the resistance changes, shall we say.
I'm not clear on the negative aspects. What are these guys saying, the bad guys?
Well, you know what? We have a human – we're almost hardwired to sort of see the negative in things when change is the issue.
Right,
and this
right.
is really is about change. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've been – listen, the way the automobile has been around for so many years, it's been an emotive connection. You know, we've been talked about the freedom of an automobile, and we've talked about the great sound of a V8 carbureted engine and all these things. So there's this connection to it that – I mean, EVs are silent. And I argue that's actually a good thing for those who often break curfew and come home late and they're always busted because, you know, you hear it in the driveway. There's pros and cons to silent. But yeah, I mean, to drive an EV, all of the performance aspects are there. In fact, they're even better. You know, there's no such thing as a torque curve in an EV. You get everything that it offers to you right off the get-go. I mean, some of these EVs that are performance, I drive vehicles every week. On Monday, I've got the Ford Mustang Mach-E, but the GT version, and that's an EV that goes 0 to 103.5 seconds. So, I mean, that's not slow.
No, and that'll obviously, you'd think it would appeal. Like, because the real car guys that I've spoken to that do evaluations, the first time they get into a hot electric car, they're usually blown away. They're going, oh my God, it's like crazy mode. This thing is so fast. So they really do enjoy it. But, you know, why hasn't the government, like, there was a tax rebate for people who wanted to buy electric, but they've reduced it or taken it off. What's going to happen with that? Do you have an idea?
So with respect to incentives, across the country, there is a lot. In fact, we now have 5 provinces that offer provincial rebates on the purchase of either full electrics or plug-in hybrids. Quebec and British Columbia have been the dominant provinces. In fact, about 3/4 of all EVs sold in the country right now are sold in those 2 provinces. Number one, because A, they've been around a long time with incentives, but also B, both of those provinces have mandates as to automakers having to sell a certain percentage of all of their sales with electrification. So, I mean, we have that. But we also now in the past year have had Newfoundland, New Brunswick, and even I come on board. The government of Canada does have a federal rebate for anybody, but that tops at 5,000. What's going to happen in Ontario? Well, I mean, that's, I think, largely a political decision. And Doug Ford has been resistant. He always had this wrong idea that electric vehicles were owned by millionaires and $100,000 cars. And he was always pointing to that early Tesla that was the luxury car.
Sure.
You know, 3/4 of vehicles nowadays in electric mark $50,000 anyway. So it's a misconception.
All right. Well, we've run out of time very quickly. But if someone has 30 Ks, is there something new that they can buy?
If they have 30 K, you're looking at getting into under 30 K. You're talking actually some of the cheapest vehicles now. You get into some of the when you get. They usually start in 40. If you're in the province of Quebec, you get 12, 13 grand plus $5,000. There's not a 30K new car yet here in Ontario, but they're coming.
All right. Eric, we got to run. If people want to find out more information or tips from you, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, you can look me up on YouTube. Just look up Eric Novak for my channel or envirodad.com or find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You can find me.
All right, man, it's a pleasure having you, and I'm sure we'll have you back down the road sometime. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Not a problem, Dave.
Thanks, Eric. Listen, we're going to get into talking about tires and what you should be doing in this kind of cold weather. And because the studios are sort of opening up a little bit more, we're going to open up the telephone lines. So if you have any questions about tires, this is the time to give us a call right now. We'll be back with Darren Bossens from Triangle Tire right after this. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Stay with us. Look at that. How smooth are we? It's almost like we planned it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, not really. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We want to thank everybody who's been writing in this week about questions for Darren Bossens from Triangle Tire, who's with us. Good morning, Mr. Bossens.
Good morning, Stephen. Good morning, Alan. How are you guys doing?
Freezing. I'm doing great. Doing great.
Excellent. Beautiful
yeah.
day.
Okay, I'm going to hand it over to Mr. Gilman. Go ahead, Al.
You know, I wonder a week ago Monday, you know, them believers, you know, the ones that go, if you know how to drive, you really don't need winter tires.
Yeah, that
did we get whacked
when
or what?
You get 2 feet of snow.
Yeah, just rock her back and forth. She'll be okay. It just blows me away. I guess those people, for the most part, if they have half a brain, they just stay home, eh?
That pretty much, yeah, it's probably the best thing to do. But as you know, some people can't. Right? Like there's people that work in the essential service industry and they have to be at work. So, and I remember a few of my colleagues who live in the city said they came home that night. They had actually gone into the office. There was a lot of cars stuck on the roads because, as you know, the side roads didn't get, you know, plowed for at least a day or two. So people were just leaving their cars where they stopped and walked home from there.
Yeah, I saw the lineup of buses on Steeles and Finch, you know, by the hills. It was just crazy. But what a lot of people don't realize is that when they park the car in a snowdrift like that, they can get impacted with snow. And tell our listeners what happens when that goes on.
What is as far as the rims and everything, like when it all
there you go exactly.
The rims? Yeah, yeah. Well, as most people may or may not know, typically, you know, winter rims are steel rims, which basically the whole face is kind of covered with a few little holes. But now with, lower profile tires, people want their cars to still look good in the winter. People are going with aluminums and, you know, they're a little more open faced, rims. So, when my car sits in the driveway and it just snows on the one side, you know, one side of the car gets a little bit more snow, it gets down into the rim and then it gets kind of hardened up, you know, melts, freezes again, and then it packs in there, and that can actually throw your balance off. So you'll notice when you start to drive, you'll get a chudder, or like, you know, you'll feel it through the steering wheel, or, you know, in your bottom end from the back end. It definitely throws the balance out, that little bit of snow.
Yeah, it's funny. I had somebody drop by my shop, I guess it was a week ago Monday, and he had this look on his face where he said, I didn't hit anything, but I got to tell you, when I hit 50 kilometers an hour, 50, not 100, but 50, my whole car shakes so bad, I don't know what happened. And exactly, that's what it was. It just, you know, it only takes, don't forget, when you're balancing a tire, you're putting on fractions of an ounce of weight, correct?
Yes, correct.
So a big chunk of ice or snow is going to make a huge difference. So there you go. All right, let's talk about these people who say, you know, in the old days, I used to put on two winter tires and it got me by. Why can't you do that now?
Well, typically, as you know, in the old days, everything was rear-wheel drive, so it was a little bit different. Now, everything now is either front-wheel drive or all-wheel drive for the most part. The end of the day, you know, a big part of winter tires is braking. Like, you want to stop in time of not hitting something when you have to suddenly stop. So having two tires on as opposed to four is going to cause issues with, you know, depending on whether you put them on the front or the back, the front end sliding or the back end sliding out, A. Plus having four winters on, you're going to have four points of contact that all have winter tires that will actually, you know, stop you a lot faster than, you know, with all seasons. So it's imperative to put on all four for sure.
Yeah, I would guess too, you know, because cars have all this extra electronics on them, whether it's ABS brakes or traction control, that when those engineers designed those systems, their assumption, I guess, was that, duh, like, are we not going to have four of the same tires on the car?
Absolutely, absolutely. Typically, you don't even really want, in some cases, have different, you know, if you're just running all seasons, four different tread, or, you know, two different tread designs on the car. You want to kind of keep everything, you know, it's the only thing touching the road at the end of the day, right? It's
exactly that patch that's only about the size of your hand, eh?
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, well, now that the lakes are freezing over and we're getting snow up north, people are maybe thinking about snowmobiling. Should they be concerned about their trailer?
Trailer wise, always, you know, unfortunately, there's no winter tires for trailers because they're just free rolling positions. But definitely one thing that everybody wants to do is, you know, check, because as you know, the trailer usually sits for half the year. You want to definitely check the pressures, make sure the pressure is correct, make sure there's no dry rot, or, you know, the tires are still somewhat soft and supple. You know, enough tread on there. Also, you want to check, you know, the rims, make sure everything's fine and snug down. I see a lot of guys pulled over at the side of the road with, you know, the trailer on an angle and one wheel's missing. So it's very important.
The wheel's missing altogether or just the tire?
Well, usually it's the whole wheel end, like the whole assembly. it's very important because like I said, they don't, you know, they sit half the year typically, and they usually sit outside. People don't usually put them inside, so they do take some abuse, but you want to make sure everything's functioning and properly, you know, ready to go for any kind of trip.
And again, you know, for the young people listening who assume that their car knows everything, hey, your car may have tire pressure sensors on, but it only got four. It doesn't have six.
No, it doesn't extend into the trailer, that's for sure. So a pressure gauge is always something that you want to have in your vehicle ready to go to check the pressures. Not just visually, but check the pressure.
Okay, so yeah. I have a question. Novice here.
Go ahead.
Okay. You two throw me underneath the bus. There'll be repercussions on this one. Okay.
I promise.
I went to put air in the tire. I've got a 21 Honda Accord, right? Nice car.
Yep.
I like it.
Yep.
So I phoned Al and I said, what's the tire pressure I should put in there? He says, look on the side of the door. As I opened the door, there's no gauge on there. Like, there's no indication of how much your pressure should be in the tire. So if there's nothing there, what should you be working towards?
Owner's manual.
That's a big help. You can tell you've been on with us for a couple of years.
Yeah, and it's very unusual to have, not a placard on, like Alan says, on the inside of the driver's side door. It's very unusual to have that. And it'll always, state what pressure you want the tires at. Because as we know, the pressure on the sidewall of the tire is the max pressure of that tire can handle. The pressure that's on the placard or in your owner's manual is based on the weight of the vehicle. So you always want to go with that, not the max pressure on the sidewall of the tire. So if you don't have a plaque, the pressure indicator, then you best thing to do is go into the owner's manual. If you have an older car, let's say the owner's manual, not in the car, the best way is maybe do a search on the internet. Or if that doesn't work, you can always go to, a place like, Allen's place and get, they'll help you out there as far as that's concerned, or any kind of tire dealer.
I think we would laugh first and say, come on, should I help you clean your glasses or what?
Yeah, well, you would. I mean, that's just who you are. But do you think the technology is going to get to a point where you're putting air in the tire and the sensors in your car, the new ones, would automatically shut off if there's too much air going into it? Is that ever coming down the road, do you think?
Oh, you mean stop the air from going into your tire?
Yeah, if it reaches a certain point.
I guess they could, yeah. But people are complaining now that they have to pay for air on a good day. And how much more do you think they're going to charge if they have automatic air pressure filler uppers?
Yeah, you can have a regulator on your compressor that will stop the pressure at a certain PSI. But at the end of the day, it's best just to, put the pressure in. Put a pressure gauge, make sure it's correct. Even the pressure that you get from the gas station, typically don't use that pressure gauge because they've been dropped, they've been thrown around. They sit outside all the time, so the accuracy of those is typically not very good. So you always want to have a pressure gauge.
All right, Darren, let's have the website where people can find out more about Triangle Tires.
TriangleTire.ca.
That was easy.
And how is it spelled, Al?
That was as easy as trying to find out where the air pressure sticker is on your car.
Oh, see, it only took him 3 minutes for the bus to come over me.
It's a yellow sticker.
It wasn't there. Yeah, I'll slap you. It wasn't there. Anyways.
I'm laughing, Darren, because after the break, we're going to be having Debbie Melamed, and she does assessments on drivers' abilities and whether they should be on the road or not. I can get Steve a special appointment. We could bump him to the front of the queue.
I might be able to pick up a Honda Accord pretty cheaply then here shortly.
Exactly.
Okay, Jeremy, it was always a pleasure to have you on. And anyway, have a good weekend. Stay warm. And, we'll talk to you in a few weeks down the road.
Excellent. Thanks, gentlemen. Have a good day.
Okay. All right. Now you're such a... Anyway, I won't say that because your mother's listening and I'll get more complaints from her. Now, of course she does. That's what she's told to say. The getting older part of driving is a big question that's going on. We're going to have Deb on next on Dave's Corner Garage, so stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage, and just a reminder that the numbers are open. The lines are open anyway. 1-866-740-4740. That's 1-866-740-4740. Now, we've been talking about throughout the hour about your gal getting a little bit older, Eyes are going, hearing's going, everything's going. So it's going to affect your driving and how you may get to the next level of not being able to get your driver's license renewed. We have on the phone right now Deb Malamud, who works once in a while with Drive Lab and is going to run through some of the stuff that we've been talking about the hour. Good morning, Deb. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Good morning.
Good. So listen, you know, Al and I are all north of 60, as a lot of our listeners are. What do you see that's taking place in the marketplace right now as far as what's going on with people getting older and what's happening with their driving capabilities?
Right. So first of all, you know, driving is serious and enjoyable business, right? Most of us north of 60 have been doing it for many years. And three areas I'm just going to go over briefly that change as we get older is our vision, and we need that for sure to drive. Our physical ability, you know, operate the steering wheel, gas, brake, as well as our memory, cognition. So we have to make good decisions. And so as we get older, all of those areas just, you know, they gradually are not as spry or as quick. We're not as quick as, let's say, when we were in our early 30s. So when we think about vision, really, you know, that's the main one. And, you know, as we get older, there are some issues in terms of vision. Typical, you know, eye issues can be macular degeneration, can be glaucoma, which can, if it's blurry vision, can develop little spots in your eyes or blank spots so you can't see as well. So those are things to be aware of. And, you know, those are things that are going to change. And then physically, you know, you need to be able to avoid and swerve away from something that happens unpredictably. So all of these things are going to change as we get older.
You know, a lot of the things that we've been... So go ahead, Al. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, of course, we all realize that I knew 10 years ago I'd have to put on reading glasses for the first time. And right. Physically, you know, you get some aches and pains. But... you know, people are concerned because all of a sudden they turned 80, they're going to have to go for a retest. Maybe you could run through quickly what happens at a retest and what determines whether they're going to be able to drive home or have to call a cab.
Sure. So at the retest, so everybody at 80, and I'm not sure 100%, but I think it's just been on hold due to the pandemic, and
right.
The Ministry of Transportation is a bit of a it's behind hugely in testing and stuff. But the 80 over is the main three parts is a vision test. Mm-hmm. So you need to pass that. There's a group education seminar, which they usually go over the basic rules of the road, ways to manage driving as you get older. And the big one is space management, which we can talk about in a bit. And then the you have a paper and pencil task, which is looking at attention, divided attention, which are, you know, two really important skills we need when we're driving. Mm-hmm. And then if someone's concerned about how you've responded, how you've completed those tests, they might ask you to do a Ministry Road test. That would just be a regular Ministry Road test. But if you're showing difficulties in, you know, processing information, you're not responding quickly enough, they could say your license is medically suspended, or you need to go to what's called a functional assessment center, which is where I work at, and we would be assessing you in a much more detailed manner with an in-clinic and on-the-road assessment.
Deb, we've had some people that have been writing in throughout the week, so I know my biggest challenge right now is I do not like driving when it gets to be towards dusk, especially in the wintertime. Sure. Now, you talked about driver rehabilitation and space management. You know, we get to a point where it's like we're in denial. When should we, not so much when you're 80 as much, but when is it really the point where we should consider retiring from driving? Like when do you hit that wall?
Yeah, great question. And we always, in our business, we talk about retirement from driving. And, you know, we all plan to retire from our work, but nobody ever thinks that they're going to have to stop driving. And sometimes what happens is family members are concerned. You may go to your GP and the GP asks you a question and it takes you a little longer to answer. Your memory's kind of not as great. So the doctor may say, you know, we need to kind of look at your driving, what's going on. It is really, like, the denial part is huge. You know, nobody thinks that they're not doing a good job out there. So, you know, what I just want to focus on just for a second is the space management. And any of us over 60, like I was talking about, our reaction time is not as great. So one of the things that we can be doing right now is thinking about space when we're driving, because the more space we leave, the more options you have, right? So if you leave, you know, two or three car lengths behind while you're driving and the guy in front of you all of a sudden puts on his brakes, you've got more time now to respond to that. If you're closer to them, the chances are you may end up hitting them. So one of the things that you really want to focus on is something we call a space cushion. So, you know, your goal is to never have a car close to you. You don't want to be driving beside a car or a little bit behind because you may be in their blind spot. So space is your golden ticket to give yourself some time, see what's going on, and then make a decision about that. And as we get older, that space becomes more important because we have that extra time to make the decision.
Hmm. It's true to me, but if you've driven in downtown Toronto or anywhere in the GTA, it's not so much the space management that I agree with you on. It's the people behind you have no idea what space management is. Like, they're right there, it's interesting because it's going to affect everybody sooner or later that, you know, your eyes go. My son is a running joke that, Dad, you're swerving from lane to lane. I went, no, I'm in the lanes. It's just we're back and forth a little bit. It's a nice cushion. If people want to find out more about what you're up to, who you with there, Deb, you want to give them a shout with their website?
Sure. So I work with a company called Drive Lab. You can just stick it in your search box. And we specifically work with people who have medical conditions. But, you know, there's lots of information if you Google that terrible word seniors and driving. There's lots of tips about how you can change your poor driving habits and just save yourself that increased risk of an accident. So there's lots you can do.
There you go. If you're prepared beforehand, maybe you have a better chance of passing that test. There you go. Debbie, thank you very much for joining us.
Hey, enjoyed it. Thanks a lot. Important topic.
Absolutely. Steve always thought about being over 80 was the alcohol content. But didn't you, Steve?
I don't know.
Not alcohol. Talk about cell phones on another...
Yeah. Just Deb trying to ignore him. I do it if I can. All right, listen, we're going to get back to some more questions from you, the listener, right after this. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. And a little known fact, somebody just wrote in on Facebook as he's getting ready to go out and get some gas at the station. Petro Canada. Al?
Yeah.
Petro. Do you know what Petro stands for?
A petrochemical?
No. Pierre Elliott Trudeau Refinery Oil.
I never knew that.
Yeah, there you go. So maybe you pass that and go get an ESSO station. Did I say that? No. Okay, so we're going to go to the third question that came in via Facebook. And you've got it, Al. Go for
it. I do. All right. Foggy windows. Having a problem clearing the inside of my windows. I guess he's got a good snow brush on the outside of the colder snow. I really like to know. You know, I put my defroster on, but it seems to take an awful long time for them to clear. The front one isn't too bad, but the side ones seem to take forever. And, you know, the really irritating thing is that overnight they seem to get fogged up all over again. Do you have any idea why? Thanks, snowed in. All right. Mr. Snowden, a number of issues here. As you may or may not know, the source of the heat in your car is the hot coolant that comes from your car's engine. One of the first things you have to do is find out whether your engine is running at temperature or not. If you're lucky and it's got a temperature gauge, that's the one that has a little green and a red spot on it. Find out where, or may have a C and an H. So what you're hopefully looking for is that that needle will be running right in the middle, because what does happen is if the thermostat breaks or stops working or sticks open, you're going to find that the needle, if it comes off the cold mark, it's going to be basically hovering around the C all along. And if it does come up, the minute you start to drive, it's going to start to go back down again, because that temperature needs to be regulated. Number one, it's best for the engine so that it consumes less gasoline. But at the same time, that's what you need to work properly for the engine to produce heat, to give you heat. All right. And lastly, the humidity in the car. A couple of things. I mean, of course, we had a lot of snow last week, and a lot of people fail to kick off the snow from their boots. If you've done that, then what to do is grab the floor mats and just take them out of the car and give them a good shake so that the water and the excess snow gets off them. That way you've got less moisture in the car, and it's a much better chance that your windows aren't going to get foggy. Steve?
Very good. This came in as well during the week. The top 10, this was interesting. I didn't get any of these. The top 10 most expensive cities in Ontario for car insurance. Top 10. So, no drum roll and no Dave Letterman here. Mm-hmm. Number one most expensive city in Ontario, Vaughan. Number two, I don't get involved with that part of it. Don't go there. Number Ajax. Two was Ajax. Number three, Richmond Hill. Number four was Brampton. Mm-hmm. Number five was Mississauga. Six was Pickering. Seven was Toronto. I thought we'd be right up there. Not proud of that. Oshawa, or the Schwa, 1833, and Whitby was 1792. Cheapest cities in Ontario. You got that list, Al.
I do. One of the cheapest ones was Kendall, but I don't even know where that is. But
you Port hang Hope, a left off 115.
Thank you. But Port Hope is only $1,175. Brockville is about the same, and Cornwall is about the same as well. But I did call in on one of our experts that we have on our show, who's in the insurance business, who said, well, hang on, I'm not that much of an expert. But what he said was basically that the more that the insurance companies have to pay out for damages due to collision or vehicles being stolen altogether will drive up the rates. So obviously, if you live near me up here in Thornhill, Richmond Hill area, where we're always hearing about people's RX350s getting stolen off their driveways, that's why the rates go up. Same thing in Vaughan. There's a lot of people in nice cars.
Easy.
I'm just saying.
Just nice, be careful. They know where nice you live.
Nice neighborhood.
But $2,179, that's pretty rich. I would have thought TO would have been at two. I mean, we pay around $2,000 for why. You know, I phone them up and say, okay, you're putting me up 11%. Why? And you know, you get a voicemail and saying, hit one and we'll call you back when we have time. So that's why it's, you know, we talk about CAA so often. And there's a reason for that. It's mainly because when you speak to them about even things like my pace with CAA, you're getting one-on-one conversation, which is great. So, you know, it's been interesting what's going on. I really hope this weather breaks soon. It looks like by middle of the week, we could be into like a balmy minus two. So that's great. So, Al, you want to wrap up who we had on?
I was thinking about going bathing suit shopping actually this afternoon, now that you mentioned it's going to be plus five.
Listen, you've been eating too much. You've been eating too much Kawartha Dairy ice cream to do that, buddy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I want to thank Darren Bossens from Triangle Tire. Got great tire advice. Great tires, great tire prices. You know, they fit in there. They're not first tier, but they're going to save you a lot of tears because they're saving you a whole lot of money. I want to thank Eric Novak, who was green as far as first time on the show, but he is Mr. EnviroDad. He knows all about green cars, whether they be hybrids or full-on electric. Check out his website. And, of course, if you're going to be turning 80 soon, you maybe want to go to Drive Lab and find out how you're going to be tested by the ministry. They are licensed by the Ministry of Ontario. And Deb had some great pointers, didn't she?
Go shopping. Go get yourself Kawartha Dairy. Do your laundry, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend. Stay safe, and keep the heat on in the house.
Just the Minute with Dave Reniger from Dave's Corner Garage.
Today we're talking with Darren Bossens from Dynamic Tire. Darren operates a massive warehouse in the northern part of the city, and they brought in a new brand called Triangle Tires. Triangle's statement is tires for life. Darren, can you explain?
Absolutely, Dave. Tires for life kind of refers to the fact that we live our lives every day. We get into our cars, we drive to work, we travel, we run errands. Many of us drive to work and get into our trucks or a piece of a machinery we're operating. And then a lot of us get home and we hook up to our trailer and go snowmobiling or camping. Triangle Tires has tires for all aspects of one's life.
So basically tires from construction equipment to trailers.
And everything in between, yes.
How do we get more information?
Please go to trianglesofhope.ca.
You've been listening to Just a Minute. To hear more, go to our website, davescornergarage.com.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.